Hey there. Welcome to Arts Creative Hub podcast, my very first one with Jacqueline Coates. So thrilled that you could join me. So this is a space for artists of all stages. So whether you've just started out or whether you need a bit of refreshing or you'd like some tips, it's a great place to be. For my very first podcast, I'm actually going to talk about how I became an artist. So it's by way of introduction, and we've all got a story. So as well as me telling you my story, I want you also to have a think about what your story is and how you have been drawn to becoming an artist, because it's a really important part of sharing all about yourself as an artist. So here you go, I'll go first, jumping off the deep end. Okay, so I started out as an advertising art director. I did graphic design school and I really loved it. I did love art in high school, but I wasn't sure what to do with it and how to make it work in my life. I had a brother-in-law who was a really good art director in advertising, and he was able to travel with it. So I thought, hey, that looks good. That will get me out into the world. I can earn a bit of money and I can always fall back and do my art a bit later. And actually, that's strangely enough what happened, but it happened a lot quicker than what I thought. I actually did really well in advertising. I dreamt up loads of ideas for big brands like Heineken, Westfield, Burley Bras, and so on. It was really hard to get a job at first. I had to pound the pavements with a portfolio out of graphic design school. I made up ads. Not that I really knew how to write them, but I gave it a good shot. Eventually, somebody gave me a job. I started at the bottom. And within a short time, I was doing really well and working in a team situation with a copywriter. I learned so much about seeing things and presenting things. And all of this has been super helpful later on in life as an artist, because it's not just about painting and being able to paint. It's also about being able to present yourself and share what you do in a way that looks great and gets people interested. So some of you may know that I actually teach my Bloom's painting method, which helps students to really rapidly progress because it's a no-fail system of painting that you can learn, and it really does go into loads of detail about paint handling and building your painting from scratch. So literally somebody can learn to paint overnight, and it's really amazing. So that's what I've become known for. But there was a long period of time where I didn't know how to break into being an artist. So there I was, an advertising art director. I was being paid pretty good money, but I was very time poor. As often happens in a job, you get stuck in the situation where you're working long hours. You find that when you get to the weekend, you've actually got nothing left to give to anything much else. But I just kept hanging on to this little bit of a dream I had, and I found that I was very attracted to going to look at the art in art museums and galleries. I also really love the work of Vincent van Gogh and Claude Monet, and I know that they're very well-known artists, but they're very well-known for a great reason. They're incredible artists, and I still love them to this day. And I do find that the Impressionist era just really exploded painting, and there's just still so much to learn about from that whole period of time. So getting back to my story as a little frustrated art director, and I'm sure a number of you out there would have had a similar experience where you were doing something where you just couldn't quite, you're stuck in a situation where perhaps you're working too many hours and you want to do something else, but you're not sure how to start. So I was in that place. So I was about 25 when I decided, right, I need to do a painting, but I don't really know how to do a painting. So I took off to an island off the coast of Malaysia, and I took some canvases and some paints. And actually, I was so nervous to crack open that white canvas, I can't tell you. I had to go and lie down. I could hardly breathe. Now, I would call myself a fairly adventurous person, but when it came to confronting the white canvas, it was really, really tough. So I lay down, and then finally I just sort of calmed my breathing and my heart rate, and then I just finally got up, lunged at the canvas and just threw some paint on. I thought, I've just got to crack this open. You know, this is ridiculous. It's only canvas and it's only paint. If it doesn't work out, so what? Just have a go. And I ended up painting this sort of self-portrait of myself emerging out of an ocean with lots of splashing and things. So I did this painting, and then it took me a couple of days to recover after that. I sort of joined in with other people on the island having nice dinners and beers at night and had a lovely time. Anyway, I did a few paintings. I did one, I did some oils of an island, and actually it's not bad. I've still got it. Then I went back to my life in Melbourne at the time, and I lived in a flat on my own, a nice little Art Deco flat, and I hung the space with canvases. But, you know, once again, I was feeling pretty terrified to bust open and make a move. So I went to the library and I started reading about artists, and, you know, obviously picked up a book about Vincent van Gogh and a couple of other incredible artists. And I just started having a little bit of a go at painting. And then around the same time, I thought I really need to move back to where I grew up in Sydney. There was just this feeling, this real pull to go there. I was very unsettled in my mid-20s. And so I packed up my little flat and I headed to Sydney, and I was still great friends with my childhood friend that I'd known for years. And actually her dad had been a painter when he was alive, and he had lived next door, and on the weekends he would be what we would call a Sunday painter back then, and he did lots of lovely floral paintings. So I was always in and out of their house, and probably unconsciously I was a little bit influenced by that as well. So when I got to Sydney, I joined into this share household, and there was an architect student, I think there was two architect students and an interior design student, and myself. And it was really inexpensive to live there. I managed to get a job as an advertising art director in Surry Hills, which is a groovy part of Sydney. But on the weekends, I had a crack at painting. So what I did was I'd have a few glasses of wine, I'd get the paint out, and I just chucked it on, and sometimes used my fingers and sometimes a brush. And what I did was I bought huge big bunches of flowers and I painted explosive flowers. At around this time, somebody from my workplace said, "Hey, there's an art auction. We're raising money for something or other. Would you like to put a work in? I hear that you're doing a bit of painting." And I bravely said yes. And I stupidly attended the art auction. It was so scary when my work went up. You can imagine that when you start out, you're nervous enough about showing anybody, let alone the painting going out to a whole room of people. So, when you're starting out, just be careful about that, because I was so scared. Anyway, the painting went off and a couple bought it, and they were absolutely over the moon. It went for decent money, so that was great. It contributed to the cause, and I got past my scary moment. And actually, years later, I heard from them. They contacted me on Facebook and said, "Hey, do you remember us? We bought that painting of yours at the art auction." And I said, "Oh my God, how is that painting going?" They said, "Well, the frame collapsed one day, but we put it back together. We really love the painting so much." I must have used a really bad frame and not known what I was choosing. So anyway, that's what happened there. And then I kind of managed to balance doing some art with working, but sometimes I didn't have the energy for it after my job, because the job was really long hours. And at one point I decided, well, this art thing is really splitting me in two. I need to go and explore it. So I actually resigned from my job that I'd just won awards in for what I was doing and so on. But I just thought, wouldn't it be great if I did creativity for myself rather than just to fit it into some ads or a TV 30-second commercial or whatever? So I bravely went off to art school. I had an advertising agency ring me and say, "Hey, we've heard that you're going to art school. Do you have any days that you've got off? We'd love a bit of help. Freelance." Now, freelance back in the day paid really well. So, you know, 1.5 days, I could live on that for 2 weeks. So I was really lucky. I had a little bit of money saved, but that job really helped me to get going. A bit later down the track, that work dried up and I ended up doing some work in a flotation tank center, but I didn't care. I was so happy at art school, learning and learning how to do printmaking, just experimenting with my finger in all sorts of pies, like sculpture. What else did I do? Life drawing. Lots of funny stories I can think of there. And yeah, learning painting and technique. Not a lot of technique. They don't really tell you all that much, actually. Anyway, a range of subjects, art history. I'm just trying to think what else. Well, it was great. It was just like a feast for me. Absolutely loved it. As well as life drawing, we had a class, which was just a drawing class, and I absolutely loved what that lecturer gave us to do. He really opened up what it was to draw and to explore. And I remember one project, we could do whatever we wanted, and we had 4 weeks before we had to hand it in. And I bought a 10-meter roll of Canson paper and unrolled it a couple of meters at a time, like a giant piece of film. And it was black, and I just got my pastels out and I drew something from each day. And it was sort of like an unfolding sort of drama. And I would spray the part that I'd done, roll it up and open up to the next bit. And I only ever got to see the whole thing when I unrolled it up on the wall to show it in the class. And they absolutely loved it. And they ended up hanging on the master's floor when I was a first year student. So I was thrilled. I was just really came alive. I really connected with doing my art, and I didn't care that I didn't have very much money. It was just much more important that I was just really connecting with paint and putting it on and just having a ball with it, going out to exhibitions. I just changed my world and replaced all that time that it was taken up doing ads and all those sorts of things with just pure art immersion. It was wonderful. So that went on for a bit until I really did run out of money and it was getting a bit serious. And one of the early paintings that I'd done, I'd painted sunflowers with my fingers inspired by Van Gogh. And somebody bought that off me for $1,500, which was great, which paid some bills. But it did get to a point where I just thought, I really am living in a way that's a bit precarious and it's a little bit stressful. So I accepted a fantastic offer to go back to advertising. I was paid a lot more, really appreciated for what I did. And I thought, this time I'm going to treat it like business and like not, it's not my whole creative output. So sometimes if I don't get my ideas through, I'm not going to get so upset. I'm going to save some energy for myself and my own life. And it proved to be a great approach because that way I now had time to attend an art studio. I hired an art studio section in a warehouse with loads of other artists. So sometimes they'd come in and sometimes they didn't. So you'd meet different people at different times. So while you had a cup of tea, you'd have a bit of a chat, always learning about what other people were doing as well as what you were doing. Other people were preparing for shows. And I just tried to be productive was the main thing. And at that stage, I was, really into painting flowers. And I was dreaming about painting flowers. And one night I had a dream about painting a giant red rose, and I suddenly found myself inside this deep red rose in the dream. And out of the middle of this very dark, velvety auditorium rose this diva swathed in rose petals, and she just started singing at the top of her lungs, and I was just so filled with a sublime energy. And when I woke up that next morning, I thought, I've got to learn how to paint these giant roses from my dreams. And we weren't doing anything like that remotely at university where I was training with my art, doing fine art. So I had to kind of work it out myself, and I worked out, first of all, I started taking some really beautiful photos, and then I worked it up from there. But I ended up painting this ginormous 7-foot square canvas. And when I painted that beautiful deep red velvety rose. It was really impactful and almost overwhelming. Anyway, a friend who has a gallery in Sydney, a major gallery, said, come and show it. And I also put some little studies that I'd done in there as well. So that was a really high point. And I did that all on my own. I did it outside of school time because it wasn't really part of what we were doing there. And probably not long after that, I had to go back in to get a job because, you know, I was sort of skating on the bottom. It's not a good idea to have financial stress when you're also trying to be an artist. It's too precarious, too stressful. And the last thing you need is staying awake at night. I have learned over the years that having some stability is a very good idea, even if it means you've got to sacrifice some of your time to kind of create that. So for me, it meant going back to work. But what I did with my workplace was I negotiated. I said to them, can I just work 4 days a week? And I'm happy to spread that whole day around. And they said, look, you know, that's fine. If you want to do that, they said, like, what are you going to do with the time? And I said, well, I'm thinking about going to finish off a couple of my subjects at school. I don't need to do them all at once, but if I could attend a couple of classes and then I have time to do my homework, then I can be knocking off my degree. So that's exactly what I did. And it proved to be a great idea. And it wasn't that I didn't enjoy my work as an art director, it's just that all my creativity bound up in that had been really suppressive to me. But now that I had the outlet to create what I wanted, when I wanted, I suddenly had a balance. And it was like being two different people. I had the practical one that went to work, and I had the artist that really just wanted to sing, dance, play, create. And finding that balance between the two was really important. So another thing that really happened to change things for me was I met the father of my children. Well, first of all, I met a man who I was very attracted to, and then a little bit further down the track, after knowing each other, going out together, not going out together, and then getting back together, and, you know, dating some other people in between, I kind of quite liked this guy, and we became pregnant with my son, and it became pretty clear that just doing that whole domestic thing wasn't going to be part of, we'll call him Motorbike Man because he used to ride a motorbike, Motorbike Man's plan. And I had to suddenly adjust to the fact that I was going to become a single mum. So how was I going to tell that to work? Where was I going to live? I couldn't live in a share house in Sydney while I had a baby. That wouldn't work. That was too much to ask of any flatmates who were out there doing their thing and being singles and or couples. So I had to go and find my own place to live, and I had to go and live in a suburb I didn't love so much. And yeah, I realised that I was going to have to work out what was I going to do with this child while I went to work. You can't put a child in a filing cabinet drawer. They require care. So first up, I realised I would need some maternity leave. So I thought, yippee, back to doing art and raising a baby would be great. So I found a place to live, had this baby, and lived on my own with the baby, with my son Hannibal, who's actually now become an artist, unbelievably enough. And I had 6 months off work. It was pure bliss. He was just such a delightful child. And I managed to paint as well. It was super cool. So I started painting up some more of these beautiful florals. The first one I did had already sold. I sold it for like $5,000 or something crazy. And actually, I still know the lady who's got it. She absolutely adores that painting. So I painted up some more paintings. I started doing that. And I also started thinking, I really should think about where are we going to live long term. I don't really want to live in an apartment. So all these big questions came up. At the same time, I was trying to find myself as an artist. The father of the children had gone to the other side of the world to contemplate fatherhood and just have a little bit of think about how it all fit together. You think he was a bit terrified of commitment. And then he came back for a visit, and I honestly tried to stay away from him, but honestly, his aftershave was so good. And and I was still very attracted to him. And one time, and I, in an impossible time that you wouldn't think that it was possible that you could conceive a child when you're breastfeeding and all this other stuff, but it happened. And literally, I knew about it a week later when he was already back in London. And then I was left with, well, now I'm really in a pickle. What will I do? Because Sydney is not cheap to live in. And going to work in a high-powered job with two children, two babies, it doesn't really add up. I mean, kids need you. You need to be around for them. So I feel like, I remember thinking at the time it was pretty odd that you have to go to get a degree to be an artist or a lawyer or anything like that, but nobody ever sends you to train to be a mother. So I just thought it was lucky that I was handling it was easy to do, and I had such a great baby. But it did occur to me, wow, nobody prepares you for the complete responsibility of being a mother. And actually, it really changed me. I thought if they're going to have one parent, then it had better be a parent who is doing their art 100% of the time and happy, rather than somebody who, you know, if they've only got access to one parent, you know, if I was continued as an art director, they would have hardly have seen me. And I wouldn't have been doing 100% what I wanted to do. So I made the decision to go and renovate an old barn that I'd bought in South Australia, you know, about 5 years earlier. And while my daughter Lily was, I was still pregnant with her, I organised a builder and organised a loan, and I started renovating a beautiful old barn in the Barossa Valley. So the actual barn only cost me $32,000, and most of the execs in the advertising agency where I worked were driving around in cars that they had paid more for than what I had for my building. They were driving those Mazda convertibles back then and looking pretty flashy. So, yeah, it was amazing, because a house in Sydney already by then, if you wanted to buy a little tiny, tiny cottage in Balmain, was at least $300,000. And here I was spending $32,000. And then I bought the two blocks next to it to give a bit more space for the garden. And I think the total came to $48,000. So really crazy, crazy low prices and beautiful undulating cropping country. Did I know anybody in the Barossa? No, I didn't. But there I would be heading off to what would become a beautiful home. And I would also have my kids with me and a lovely space for them and space to paint. So even though I was heading off on my own and I was slightly terrified, I was also really happy about where life could be heading. And that's exactly what happened. I had Lily, and just before I left Sydney, I had a major show. I put all my beautiful floral works together and sent off press releases, even though I was a total nobody in the art world, and sent them off to magazines and newspapers, and I got printed up and people turned up. And for the first time, I sold a lot of work all at once. I think I sold 18,000 worth of work at the show, which I curated and hung with the help of a friend and held in a pop-up space. We had a fabulous opening night. I was very heavily pregnant. And then about 3 or 4 weeks later, I had my baby, Lily. And we literally, a few weeks later, were off to South Australia with another $18,000 worth of commissions to do. So I just landed on my feet. There's nothing like responsibility in children to galvanize you into action. And that's exactly what happened. I literally had to make it work. And that's what happened. I had no choice but to be a success with it. And I did things that were scary to me. It was my first time I just let everybody know what I was doing. I really came out in full as an artist, if you like. And it was a fantastic experience. And it was actually a real relief, because I could really be all of myself, instead of being an art director and sort of doing art on the side. I was really embracing it and just running headlong towards being an artist and getting myself out there. So, you know, life went on and I went down to the Barossa Valley. So I'll let you read about that if you want. I've written a book called Make Money from Art, a Memoir. And the reason I called my book that was because that was the thing that held me back from doing this thing I so passionately wanted to do full time. Until I cracked how to make money from art, then it wasn't a possibility for me to do it 100% of the time. And now I had two children in tow, I was totally responsible for everything for them. So it had to work. So yeah, then my story follows how that all unfolded and basically lots of problem solving, like how did I do it? How did I make money? How did I pay a mortgage? How did I go on to be successful? How did I then go on to create a gallery and buy a gallery and all this sort of stuff? To the point where actually today I've got French art school in France as well as living in the Barossa. And I have my online art school. So yeah, I guess over time I've managed to live the dream. My kids, I would say, are very creative. My son Hannibal, I thought he was going to go off and do soccer or something, but turns out he is a natural at portraiture. So I guess it's all those times sitting on my hip while I painted up those shows in Sydney, watching and trying to grab the brush himself. He's a pretty gorgeous baby. And Lily has also absorbed it all because they just watched me paint and watched me create while they were growing up. I always painted down the far end of the living room at the barn and they saw all of that. So yes, now my daughter is, she just left to go to Paris 2 weeks ago, even though she's only 19 and a half. She spent the year of being 18 in Paris as an au pair, loved it so much that she's decided that she wanted to be back there studying. So she applied for a course, got in as a fashion marketing and sustainability student. Super cool, and she's living in a 12 meter square apartment and absolutely thrilled. Lots of friends there already that she made last year. So yeah, we're a creative family. The father of the kids has actually been throughout our lives, and he's, you know, we all love him as well, but we have lived separate lives, and he's actually back in the Barossa with COVID happening, and a really fantastic help and support to the kids. So, you know, it's not the most conventional of stories for families, but it has been one where everybody's very happy, so it's great. So that's my story about becoming an artist. Yeah, as I say, if you want to read about it, you can look me up online and go and get yourself a copy. It's makemoneyfromartbook.com, and you can order a copy there and we'll send it out to you. So it's also got some colour plates in the middle too. I've broken it up into nice, short, easy to read chapters. I've had fantastic feedback. People love it. It's a good chatty read. And yeah, you'll learn a lot of tips about how to get yourself out there as an artist, because that's exactly what happened. Literally, my life bloomed and I had to keep opening it up and finding new ways to do things. So yeah, I can thoroughly recommend being an artist. And I think this is a thing that my son sees. He says, why would you want to do anything else? Because, you know, when you can get it working like you do, Mum, it's a great life. So that's also what I teach other people to do. I have a Make Money From Art program. And I teach people how to paint from scratch and get their work out there, develop a body of work and not so much sell, but share your work and get it out there, and specific strategies. And yeah, I've had lots of artists who've turned into six-figure income artists and been able to release the things in their life which they don't love doing anymore. And, you know, quite often these artists come to me. One of them I can think of was 40. Another one was 60 and had been doing something she didn't want to do. Wasn't quite on track with what she wanted to do, and now she's a top-selling artist. Another one was, you know, 50. So quite often, I feel it's a great thing if you've had some experience in life as an artist or before you become an artist, so you've got some skills. So when I think about it myself, I already had some skills. I already knew how to live away from home. I could organize myself out of a paper bag. you know, I had some basic skills in life, and I think it's quite tough for students, art students who leave school at 19, they finish art school at 21, and perhaps they don't have some of those skills sorted yet. It's a good idea to have had some experience in some other areas, and you can bring those skills in, whether it's being organised or whether it's knowing how to handle your finances or whether it's knowing how to pay the bills. Or perhaps you've created some stability, perhaps you own something somewhere so that you've got a roof over your head and you can afford to take a little bit more of a risk. So all of those things come into it. And during my podcast series, I'll talk about lots of different things like this, lots of angles that might help you to find your own path and your own magic and really connect with what it is that you wanted to do, whether you want to do your art or be a mural painter or create chocolate cakes or whatever it is that's creative to you, sculpture, so many different ways to be creative, aren't there, or a writer even. So we'll also have lots of interviews with different exciting creative people out there that you can learn from and be inspired by. And I'll be discussing loads of things like art supplies, paints, you know, so you know what you're choosing when you go out there. And I'll be giving you some freebies if you like as well along the way. So thanks so much for joining me on my first podcast. I hope to see you again. If you want to connect with me on Facebook, I've got a free page called Bloom's Art School Online on Facebook, and if you go and make contact with me there, then I can let you into the group, and I've already got heaps of projects up there that I've put up there for free, and lots of people sharing their great stuff. So join us and we'll see you there, and I'll see you for the next podcast, I hope. Thanks for joining me. This has been Jacqueline Coates on Arts Creative Hub podcast, the first in the series. Exciting! And love and paint brushes on your journey. And I'm wishing you all the best for your creativity. How exciting.